Yo, 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 what's good? You are tuned in to A Sweet Life, Malik Rashid, Chief Johnson, and I must say, I can say this now, the worldwide homie. the worldwide homie, Big AD in the building, man. I'm glad we got to sit down, man.
No, bro, I'm telling you, I hit you, I seen a DM, I say, man, my nigga Chief, man, he peeing past everything now, bro. He in the stadium, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, nigga, I'm working hard. I'm like, I ain't get the fucking film in the stadium and shit. I like that. I'm like, I gotta come fuck with the people, man.
See, we gotta run that one. We gotta run another one in the stadium.
Do that shit at the Rams stadium or something.
Or USC. Yeah.
We can do USC.
Let's
for
do
sure.
a USC.
That's fine.
Yo, Willie, I'm calling you about it. I'm on record. I'm calling you about it. So I see you at Mizuno, or I call you. His daughter, my daughter, playing the same for the same volleyball club.
Fire.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hit when we caught up, man. I was just, you know, letting AD know that I had been watching and was super proud of like everything that you're doing, because you know we've known each other for a number of years, and you know it was through music and Swish. Shout out Swish.
Shout out Swish.
But to see like. You know, we always talk about the pivots and, you know, change and growth and all those things, but what you have been able to do, but still, you know, able to chase down your music and do those things has been nothing but inspiring, man. So again, wanna give you your flowers and just say super, super proud of everything you're doing, man.
Yeah.
Y'all selling out what? Yo, was that the Will Turn?
We just did two nights at the El Rey, 24 hours. Yeah, we at the Novo in November. We going to the Gramercy Theater in New York. We're doing somewhere else in the Bay. And then next year, it's going to be a long line of shows and stuff like that.
Man.
Some live podcasts.
I think we're going to have to tap in with y'all.
Come on, man.
Let's go.
Hey, yo, whatever y'all need from
Ace
me, man.
Boy, pun, you, yes. AD, let's go.
Let's do it.
Well, man, you know, going back to like, you know, when I met you, you were heavy into the music game. Mm-hmm. So just want to talk about that, like, you know, music early on in the career, and the ultimate point is to get to where we are now, and just that, you know, pivot, not so much a pivot because you didn't abandon the music, but this new business, this new, you know, creativity that you're coming out here. So, you know, if you could dive a little bit about the background of AD.
So it was crazy because my whole life, people always say, oh, you remind me of Ice Cube. You know, I don't know if it was the clothes that I was wearing or just being just from the West Coast or anything like that. But after a while, I'm like, it makes sense. Because I didn't just only want to do music. I wanted to be in movies. I wanted to do commercials. I wanted to do different type of businesses and stuff like that. I didn't know how I was going to get there. But, you know, I just had that spark. And it was crazy, too, just doing music, being an independent artist. And I was fortunate to be able to get a song on the radio 30 spins a week with no radio budget, no label behind me. And I seen the highs of that, and I also seen the lows of that too, where it was people telling me to make plays. And I'm like, I ain't got the capital to make the plays. And I'm just trying my best to make shit shaking. And even before the podcast stuff, shout out to Lil Dicky, man. I met him at a video shoot with Wiz Khalifa. Shout out to my guy Wiz. Forgot that I even met him. And then he drops a song, Chris Brown, he's super popping, and he just randomly DMs me on Instagram, and he's like, hey, I remember you, I got this TV show. And I was like, in my head, I was like, what the fuck is Lil Dicky hitting me up for? Like, I'm like, all right, whatever. He tells me he got this TV show. Now, when I'm hearing TV show, I'm thinking, you know, he probably got like a pilot he's probably trying to shoot and put on Facebook or something like that.
Not day.
You get what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right. So he sent me the address to the shit, and I get to, they're like, yeah, go to your trailer. I'm like, go to my fucking trailer. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm leaving Compton. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what the hell? And I look and I see the list, and I see, oh, executive producer, Scooter Braun and Kevin Hart. And I'm like, oh, this FX, this is some big ass shit. And I did one episode, had a couple lines in there, did that shit, and all the people, they was like, oh man, you did good. I didn't know how I did. Did a second episode, didn't think nothing of it. They invite me to go to the premiere, and I go to the premiere, I didn't think one of the episodes that I was on, they was gonna show it, but I was just happy to be in the building. So they got all these film producers, all these TV people, rappers, everybody, and we sitting in the middle in the movie theater. And then I see myself come on that screen in the shit. And after that, I see the credits roll and I see my name on the credits. And right then I was like, I got to do something different other than just music. I can do this. I can possibly do this. And all the TV people kept coming up to me. Oh, man, you did good. You did good. Oh, you're a good actor. I'm like, I ain't no fucking actor. You know what I'm saying? But just seeing that was like, okay, that gave me the courage to try something else, because when you stick into one thing, you don't want nobody to think that you're failing at it or, you know, something ain't working. So you want to move on to something else. And then, you know, the opportunity came after that where it was like, oh, you want to try to do podcasts? And I was in my head, I'm like, nah, like people that look like us ain't really doing this shit. Now is everybody doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the time I'm like, all right, let me see. Let me just try this shit out. And the first couple of times I did it, I just seen a different reception from the people. Now I got little white kids running up to me. They mamas is asking me, take a picture with my son. You're funny. And I wasn't used to that, you know, being a street rapper from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
People would meet me and I would always go home later and they'd be like, oh, I seen you. I didn't want to say nothing to you because I didn't know how you was going to react. And I'm like, damn, I'm a cool guy, but I don't want to give out that type of energy. Is this the energy that I'm giving out in my music? So doing the podcast made it reverse. Mm. Now the people are saying like, oh, you're funny, you're this and you're that. And I just started seeing just an influx of just crazy love. And then it went from that to people telling me like, man, you helped me with my day. You know what I'm saying? I'd be depressed and just watching you makes me forget about everything. I think you one of my family members and, you know, I treat you like that. And man, that shit just took a toll of its own and just, you know, standing on our own, doing these things and curating these shows and making stuff shake. And mind you, once again, we ain't doing it with nobody corporate. We ain't got nobody behind us. Shout out to the sponsors that we got, because you know they're helping a lot. But yeah, man, we did this shit from the mud. We doing it from the mud, and we doing it at a high level on our own dime, doing everything we supposed to be doing.
Streaming.
And it's crazy as fuck. The streaming shit is crazy.
Nah, and I love it because it's just so authentic to who you guys are. And I think that's the thing I'd always respected about you also too, is like, we know where you're from, we know that culture, and we know all those things, but you are always so personable and so like chill and humble when it comes to that sense. And then just hitting on something, man, like I think perseverance is an amazing word for you, man, because, you know, as we know, like the music industry is a hard game. Anything in entertainment is a hard thing to do. And like you said, like a lot of times the pride kicks in if you feel like you're not where you should be at a certain level or you shouldn't be doing this. But you know, to be able to go out and be like, damn, I'm acting now, my name's in the credits, and make you put another battery in your back, like now I want to chase even more. And then stepping into another, you know, the podcasting space, something you never did, and being able to try that and take the courage for those leaps. And I think that's so important, you know, for the kids and just even adults, man, who are afraid to try something new and step outside of their comfort zone, man. So it's dope to watch. Even I was just tripping out, like seeing you on Joe Budden. I'm like, damn,
which was crazy too.
Yeah, yeah, because he's been doing it for a long time.
He's the pod father,
right?
That's what
right.
They call him.
And he comes from, yo, Joe Budden was no slouch on the mic. You know what I mean? Like,
it was nice.
So that transition too, and seeing you on there, man, because Joe Budden is a, you know, he's a student of the game, and he's not bringing anybody on that show that he doesn't respect and doesn't know about. So even seeing that, man, what was that like to?
Bro, it was, you know, it's crazy. I went to New York literally for a pop-up. So I'm aligned with this cannabis brand called Big Chief. So they made me a part of the company. And, you know, I'm the face of it. I take it on 100%. I stand by it. And we ended up having a pop-up in New York. And as soon as I got out there, everybody sent me on the phone, are you in NYC? Hey, come pull up over here. And a shout out to Academics too, because he's one of the people too, like, would just let me get on his Discord and just talk my shit and, you know, those clips and everything, fucking with his fans and stuff like that. And Matt Hoffa just called me out of nowhere. And I was like, what the fuck? He's like, hey, come do this shit. And then shout out to my guy Ice, because as a rapper, Ice would always champion for me. He'll be on Twitter, hey, he's the hardest nigga. And later on, we both doing pods and stuff like that. So, you know what I mean? He always connect with me with Joe. And when I went over there, bro, man, Joe cool as a motherfucker. Super cool, bro. And just watching how they're doing it, even coming here, I'm like, y'all doing it on a high level as far as production. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at the cameras. I'm like, all right, I see it over there, 6K to 8K cameras. And you know what I mean? A lot of people don't understand that's important, that quality over everything in this type of industry that we in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely, you know, that's something from day one that we've, you know, that's all it's been is like, yo, it's going to be highbrow. The conversations are going to be highbrow. That doesn't mean that they're going to be over anybody's head, but we just wanted to make sure that we messaged, you know, to the community in a certain way. You feel me? And I think what's dope is having you on the show is also shows like sort of an evolvement with us in the sense that, like, I think early on we would have been like a little like little leery because not because we don't because we fuck with you. You know what I mean? We fuck with the music, but like it was just like, yo, we got to do it a certain way because if we move away from that. But like, nah, it's actually the transparency and also that, man, we're people. Like at the end of the day, Chief and I are not like doctors. We're not even we're not perfect. We're just, again, everything on this is just, we're just talking from experience. That's all we're all talking from, mm-hmm. right? Even on your show. Y'all be wildin', but y'all, it's just wild shit. It's wild experience. You know what I'm saying? So we're just delivering a certain kind of experience. But I love them all, man. I love watching what y'all do. Love watching what Wallow and Gilly do. Love watching what, you know what I'm saying? Like, just everybody, man. Like the fact that we found a space. That we would have been, it's hard to get through. You just talked about it, right? It's hard to get through those doors. It's hard to get through those, you know, to be on FX without a Dave Coast. Same thing he's doing for Gator. I remember Gator from rapping.
And I remember Gator.
From Tyga. Yeah. I met Gator with Tyga.
You know what's crazy about the Gator situation?
Okay.
When I came for that first episode and I seen him there, he didn't even understand like the magnitude of what was about to happen for his life. I'm like, you co-starring on this show. I told him, I said, bro, your life is about to change. And I said, watch the people that you have around you. Cause when I seen him, it was nobody around him. And he like, bro, he just so humble and so hungry. And man, this nigga showed me pictures of him and Leonardo DiCaprio now. You know what I'm saying? Even the episode that we are on, I think it was not up for an Emmy, but one of these awards, they were like putting it into categories and stuff like that. So for that to be like his first gig as well too, doing some acting shit, he's doing that at a real high level. And to watch him now, still the same guy, he's doing his thing and he's a staple in this industry as well too now.
Yeah, super staple. How's life changed for you?
Bro, it's way different now. But what I can say is that, man, I'm way more happier. You know what I mean? Like, you finally feel like all the dots are starting to connect for you. So it's crazy because all those doors with music that people kind of shied away from, now they knock it back on. They're like, hey, we got this going on for you now. So it's like, yeah, you ain't going to get rid of me. I'm going to keep reinventing myself. I'm going to keep doing certain shit. And like you said, the perseverance is crazy. Just like Gator as well, too, it's like people may say, oh, yeah, I know him from there. And, you know, shout out to my partner, T-Rail, as well, too. He was right there with Tyga. He had a lot going on. He was checked out of this industry. He's back in and he's doing at a high level. We just celebrated his 100th episode yesterday. 10,000 live watching us, four and a half to 5 hours. All black men celebrating each other, turning up, just having a good old time and stuff too. And, you know, people ain't dropping numbers like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's also dope that what you've built, you know, with everybody, it's not like you, you know, your glory and this person. It's like you all have your own things, but collectively you're championing each other. And I think that's so powerful for people to see, because within our culture and community, everybody's trying to fraction. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to divide us and pit each other against each other. And, you know, and it's a testament to show, like, we can get it together. You know what I mean? Like, everybody pull your weight.
We better together.
We definitely better together.
We better together.
Yeah.
We better together because, like, it's about shared experience. You have now context for this at a level that we don't even have context for at this time, right? So you can share the information. And we can share certain information about, you know, things and relationships that we have that can, like, yo, if we give AD this information, we may not be ready to step into this, but he's at a place where he can step into this, give him the information, let him, and then when it's time, he gonna be like, yo, and circle around. That's
and that's what I love now, especially doing this. A lot of these hater ass niggas, man, y'all not gonna win. And you know, just like I was telling Chief off camera, is that this game that we in, this audience don't give a fuck about your accomplishments, what you done did. They want to see who you are as a person. Can you articulate yourself? Or can you be entertaining? Because at the end of the day, we're entertaining. We're just doing it at a different type of level and stuff as well too. And I see artists, hey, I want to come on your show. We leave the chat up there for them, and you watch their ego just get broken down. And sometimes it's good though, because it's like it break you down to a human. Mm-hmm. They used to people kissing their ass all day, and now these are the people that's actually gonna go buy your tickets, the ones that are gonna stream your songs, telling you, yeah, fuck you, I don't like your outfit today. You know, it's gonna make you overthink some things. You know what I'm saying? So no, it's real dope, man. And I just love how we can all just share the wealth, bro. Like, I'm tired of niggas always trying to gatekeep things, and like, we can literally, it's endless, it's the internet. We can all help each other, we can all cross promote, we can all do what we supposed to do, and that's how it's supposed to be.
Yo, that's how you create, you know, a Coachella, or that's how you create, you know, the Roots, their festival, and all these different things, because it's a collective. Like, everybody just brings their shit. Like, yo, you bring this, y'all bring this, this is the audience, y'all. That way we cover everything. And everybody is serviced in a way, it's gonna be at a high level, right? But everybody gets serviced, you know what I'm saying? And we just, like you said, the gatekeeping and the not sharing the information and feeling like, if you share the information, you out of it, you out of information, yes, that you should be extremely careful with your relationships. If you feel like somebody can't handle them correctly, and Chief gonna get a phone call, or I'm gonna get a phone call, or you gonna get a phone call, like, yo, you invited this guy to the space, and yo, bro, he's kind of reckless, and this is what he's brought. Yes, we should all be wary of that, and there should be a point of entry. But at the same time, when you know people are solid and they have been consistent, it's in your best interest and the best interest of us collectively to get on somebody's shoulders, mm-hmm. Period.
Each one teach one, man.
For real.
That's what it's about.
For real. That's the power. We don't have power fractured. The power is us all collectively, because then we can move the room. Oh, you're not fucking with him, then you're not fucking with us, and we're not all doing it.
And that's what it's just like you just said it.
Yeah.
And I love being able to say, hey, look, I know that guy. Let me connect with them over there. Let me do this. Or you call my phone, AD, can you link me with this person? Yeah, let me do this and do that. Because all that do is make me look bigger. It make all of us look bigger at the end of the day.
Yeah.
1,000%. 1,000%. Fatherhood. How do you balance the success, the busyness with being, you know, I've known you always to be like a solid father also, mm-hmm. too, man. Like, what's that like now that your daughter, she's a teenager now, right?
Just started high school. Yeah. And no, it's crazy too, because just the fatherhood aspect, it really taught me how to be a man. Even the decisions I make now, man, I got two baby mamas. I don't want three baby mamas. I want the next lady to be my wife. And I want my kids to grow up in the same household. So my children, I got a 4-year-old.
It's tough when they, it's tough.
Yeah, I've been to the baby mama drama and, you know, paying money every month and stuff. And I understand too, like, I come from that as well. Like, you know, pops wasn't around like that.
And more importantly, the kids, like, when you're not in the same home with them, even though they love you, they do love you, but there's always this thing. There's, you know what I mean? It's an unspoken thing. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, man, we try to do our best. Try to stay in the home if you can.
If you can.
There's
some crazy bitches out there, man. I'm just saying.
It's some crazy us, too.
Yes,
it's us who got to do some work, too.
We got work to do, too.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to start that narrative, because that narrative is also dangerous for us. Because right now we got the black woman and the black man narrative, and we not together, like, in terms of, like, oh, you know what I mean? We looking at them like in corporate America, because they're, you know, they're being given the door, and we're not being given the door. And there's not a what's to say? It's not a, like, cohesive thing. But again, that's when it goes back to protecting one another. We got to learn how to protect one another.
And, you know, with me, I learned it just comes with maturity. A lot of times, man, I'm fucking around. Was I ready? Probably not.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I'm happy now because I got to move my daughter back in with me. Dope. You know what I mean? I look forward to taking both my kids to school every day. I pick my son up. And then, too, like, my son has autism. So I'm really, really on him and making sure, you know, he's getting everything that he needs and going to his therapies and, you know, being right there to be able to go to his school and do everything, too. So
what level is he communicated?
No, so right now he's a nonverbal.
Okay.
But he's super smart.
Yeah.
You know, when he want to eat or he want to do some shit, he'll drag you over there. But nah, like, the therapy is really, really helping him. And that also taught me a lot of patience as well, too. Because, you know, I can see my son get frustrated and, you know, learning, like, okay, this is what's making him upset. This is what he needs over here and stuff, too. So when I handle business or when I deal with people, I don't have, like, a short fuse anymore and things like that. So my son taught me that.
Real growth.
With your son being nonverbal, autistically, there's got to be some concerns, like, what 10 years from now looks like.
Of course. And that's why I'm working as hard, like, to look, regardless of whatever happens, I want the people to be like, that's his son, and he cool just because of that. So whether he can talk, whether he can communicate with anybody, he gonna be that nigga, though.
You understand that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
I have a dear friend, and her son is autistic. He's verbal. He's able to speak, but... You know, I know one of her concerns is like, wow, you know, what's going to happen when in a couple of years, or he's just an adult, like, how, you know, where's, you know, separation anxiety, like, how will I ever even be able to separate? Is that really a realistic thing, you know, and how it will happen? So I commend you, man. It's so crazy. I was talking to Vince yesterday, Vince Phillips, and we were just talking about our kids, period, right? And he said, bro, there's always going to be something to worry about.
Yeah.
There's going to be something. Once you hurdle one thing and you get comfortable with that shit, so then they throw some other shit at you. You like, what the fuck? I was just getting comfortable. I was just getting my legs under me. So, again, I commend you, man.
Thank you, bro.
We should do something. We should try to figure out something to do, like, in light of, in lieu of your son's autism.
Oh, for
sure. And I know, like I said, I know two friends who's, children deal with it, and it's something that is really it's hitting our community.
Hey, and it's crazy as well too. And shout out to his mom as well too, because she's a great mother. No, you know, my best friend is OG Genesis. His son is autistic as well too. So I watched his son grow up and, you know, see, like, just how more advanced he done got. And a lot of that is just the parents have to care. The parents, you can't just you can't just sit back and think your kid is going to be okay.
Yeah.
You have to work with your kid every day. You got to make sure they go to the therapies.
Yep.
You have to do that because I've seen his son, you know, man, so smart. He's amazing. He's a genius, really. And I was able to see early signs and know. Even when OT first seen my son, he knew right away, like, hey, when you can, he's showing signs of that. Go get him checked and stuff too. So
really, he knew. He knew off the rip.
And there's signs. If anybody that's watching this, one of them is like when the kid they flapping their hands a lot, that's a sign of it. My son used to spin in circles all the time, and then I was just like, oh, okay. And a lot of times too, you don't want to sit there and think the worst or you know or think something is wrong with your kid or anything like that. But you gotta, whether you scared or not, you're doing your child a disservice if you're not making sure they get the right care that they do. So, and I've seen just having that therapy, how a million times better and more advanced my son is getting doing that every day.
I'm glad you're on here today because people are getting to see a side of you or getting to know another part of your story.
Mm-hmm.
Even you letting us know a part of OT's story, like they need to see these sides of us. What we do with our kids. You know what I'm saying? That we're around, we are involved and engaged. And your son, like you said, has autism and you in there. And I know that's, it's tough. Cause I, you know what I'm saying? Sure. So, man.
But I wear it with honor now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I love it, you know.
Salute to you, bro.
Every year I go to the autism walks and stuff too. So, you know, I'm a proud advocate, man.
Yeah, no, I love it, man. Just the growth, again, like I can't say enough about the growth and like, how important, and the reason we started this hall is because I know I wouldn't be where I am if people didn't open doors for me, but also through that process allow me to grow and growing from ourselves, because a lot of time we don't have a, you know, like you said, a father in the house or a marker to mirror ourselves after, so you're really figuring out on the fly. And then it's the importance of having good friends around you that are good stewards, but also put you in your place and that you can continue to grow and push each other. And, you know, I know OT is one of your close friends, but whoever that close people in your pod you got, you guys have done a great job of just leaning on each other and pushing each other to do great things, man.
And everybody is great fathers that we do business with. Like, we don't play with that.
Yeah.
Like, for real. Nah, because if you don't take care of your kids, what you going to do anything else?
Fact. If your kids can't rely on you, how can I?
I can't respect you. I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a growing process, too. Like, fatherhood is a growing process. Like you said, like, you know, early on, you don't, because sometimes we let the relationships that we are in with the other person dictate certain things, and the growth will show you, nah. That don't dictate it. Yeah. What dictates the relationship is the relationship I have with the child.
Facts.
Your thing is an extra thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's an amazing thing, but this, I can't let anyone come between this. You know what I'm saying?
It's sacred.
Yeah, but early on, sometimes when you don't know, you don't know. You only know what you know. You know what I mean? So, also, that's why, like, we should all, like, just want to find a way to, like, again, pour into everybody, you know what I mean, and give a little bit of experience and context, and not just this hierarchy thing of, like, I always say, like, we not speaking from some pulpit or some perch in the sky, bro, we speaking from, like, just a space of, like, we failed in instances, we've not communicated well, we've not been the best the partners to people, like, we've dealt with all of it. So what makes you able to hold your head up high and nobody to be able to hang anything over your head is when you acknowledge, like, look, this is where I was, but this is where I am now, and this is where I'm going to continue to go, and this is where I'm going to stay. You know what I'm saying? As long, because when you do that, then nobody can ever hang anything over your head or, like, real make tough. You feel like, oh, I'm gonna pull this belt. You're not pulling shit back. Yeah, that's where I was. Cool. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you tried to.
Yeah, it's like the Eminem thing. Remember? So strong,
the people, man. Like, one thing I learned is when the people fuck with you, it don't matter what nobody say.
Yeah.
Nobody. Yeah. And I believe in God at the end of the day. He's the one that guides us all to everything that we're doing right now. So keeping my faith in him and doing what I'm doing, like, I know there ain't no way I could fail.
Straight ahead.
Yo, you got the ill LA cap on.
Yo, have you seen his hat collection?
Oh, my hat collection is crazy.
Nah.
I got a whole wall. They all like customs and stuff.
Nah, it's so ill. But speaking of that, like, are you a LA sports fan? Are you a sports fan?
I'm
like,
LA everything.
Okay.
To the
Trojans,
bone.
Dodgers, Lakers,
whatever.
Bruins. If you're in, it is.
Listen, I don't watch everything. I don't go to all the games like that. But if it's LA, I'm supporting it. That's everywhere I go.
You got a Lakers and a Clippers jersey, huh?
Yeah, I got Kobe tatted on my head, man. For real.
The great.
Wow.
Music. What's in the pipeline?
Man, look, I got a lot. I'm working with this with Polyester the Saint right now. Me and Don Cannon, we still got this unfinished project. You know, we got that. I just dropped a project with Prince Krishan. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Hitmaker too, Heat Wave. And bro, I'm just in the lab just cooking. And you know, even from everything that I'm doing, I was able to fund my own lab. So instead of just paying for the studio time on it, me and Ace Boy Pun, my partner, we bought our own studio. And yeah, man, just started cooking out of there.
Does it feel liberating to be able to just do it yourself and release when
you? Hell yeah, because I can do what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's a difference when, like, you can go downstairs at your crib and make money. Mm-hmm. You don't feel the pressures of, as an artist, like, I have to put something out. I have to, you know, do these certain things. I have to go to take these certain shows. You don't have to do it no more. But doing the other side, which is the media side, has taught me so much about being an artist as well, too. It's not worth it to use those bullets if you don't got to pull them right away, because a lot of artists will be hasty. And I've been hasty where it's like, you know what, things ain't moving well. All right, let me use this favor right here. Let me use this favor right now. And then when you really need it, it's not there no more.
Yeah, yeah.
So just planning and staying consistent and, man, having content. I tell people all the time, content is king. If you can have some form of content, no matter what you do, at least once or twice a week, you're going to be way better off. These artists, you can't take, you're not Kendrick. You're not J. Cole. You got to get to that level. You got to flood these people's minds so that they put you at that level, and then you can kick back and do that.
Yeah, man. So you don't believe in, like, I know, like you were saying, a lot of people try to go the scarcity model. Like, you see these artists, they wipe their Instagram all the time. They got one picture up. They don't want to do any. And you know from what you're building now about the importance of brand partnerships, but also the correct ones. But how important is it in business as an artist to be a good brand partner?
Oh man, that visibility is everything. You can fuck it up super easy too. And kind of what you just said before that is, I think a lot of artists are afraid to drop. It's not that they don't want to put the shit out there, but the state of hip hop right now is in trouble. This is the first time we've had one number one hip hop album this year, I think. You know what I mean?
I don't think we have none.
No, Uzi did number one. Yeah, okay, he had number one. Okay. And
Travis.
Travis too.
Travis.
We haven't had a number one Billboard hit in hip hop.
That's what we haven't. Yeah.
We haven't had one, so it's like the optics. You see, the businessmen look at it like, okay, maybe Spanish music is doing better, maybe Afrobeat is doing better, so. It's fucking it up for the artists, so they're trying to be very, very careful. Yeah. Because if you sold 300,000, 400,000 5 years ago, and you drop this time and sell 80, 90,000, they're gonna look at you like a failure, and those brand partnerships that you do have, they might feel like you ain't as hot as you are, and they'll pull them motherfuckers away. So it's a tricky situation. It's a scary time to be an artist, especially at a high level.
Yeah, are you excited by music, hip hop right now? Do you think it's in a stale place?
I love hip hop. I'm always gonna love hip hop. So I know there's always gonna be somebody. This is their window to come through the cracks and then turn this motherfucker back up. Like, mm-hmm. One thing I learned is you can't count hip hop out.
Yeah.
No Never. Matter what.
Yeah.
Something's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And we do got people that are killing it right now, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's gonna get back on track.
Yeah.
But I like the other music as well too. Like I'm really fucking with the Afrobeat shit, man. Burna Boy new album, that's all I've been listening to, man. I've been driving around.
Burna Boy hard.
Man, he nice, man.
Burna Boy hard. I like it.
You know who else album that just dropped this hard?
Tim's fan.
Friday.
Friday is nice.
Friday's new album.
Fire. Yo, I just talked to the dude who signed Friday to publishing, Eddie Forsell, and he was just like, yo, this motherfucker is different. He's super different.
I didn't know, you know, because everybody knows him from God Did, but I never, you know, and then the homie Carver, like, had posted, and he was like, this, yo, there's no skips on this, so I downloaded it, and no I was like, yo. And he's like, you could tell he's powered by God, too. Like, you could tell the influence of, like, church. And then I think his mom, or I think he's African descent also, too.
Really?
Yeah. Like, he has, like, a lot of tones of Afro beats in there, but just well-written, well-put-together. And I find myself in that space also, too. Like, hip-hop to the core, you know. But I think sometimes you're searching for a little more substance and somebody to break through the noise. Because there's a lot of, like, some stuff come on, I'm like, I don't know who that is. I can't tell who that is. Like, and I think it is that some of these artists are scared. Like, if I step outside of, you know, what people really like, are people not going to be feeling it? You know what I mean?
Are they scared also, or are they also just like, I feel like...
Not talented enough? Just say it.
They can't make nothing.
Y'all ain't doing that to me.
Say it with your chest.
With your chest down. I feel like there is this thing of their perceived, how they perceive like stardom or what they perceive as success is a lot different than what we perceive success to be. Like their perception is like, okay, I got 1 million followers on IG. I got 1 million followers on all my social, whatever. I'm getting money for shows. Cool. And the music only has to be okay. So like, you know, Ty was saying, if you see somebody and they getting over being average or even below average, what's gonna make you try to scale up?
Yeah, but it's all about like,
No, I know, yeah. but do you understand what I'm saying?
Whose optics is on? Because we may think something is average, somebody else, they're like, this is everything. And, you know, I guess it's a sign of times, too.
True, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
My little brother, we listen to people, I be like, nigga, that shit suck. And he like, you a old head now. And I'm like, all right, but I'm seeing these people.
But that sucks.
It sucks, though.
Like, check back me in 2 years.
It sucks to me, though, but... Yeah. You know, like, I respect somebody like Coi Leray.
Yeah.
She, who gives a fuck with her album sales? She's a fucking star, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Every time she's on stage, she's doing her thing. Like, I'm entertained by it. Yeah. Who gives a fuck what it sells? So,
shout out to Saint. That's his thing.
Yeah.
Got it.
And there's a lot. And again, like, I think it's different now because everybody posts the numbers online, like, oh, 34,000, is that good, is that bad? And it's like, that's them, you know what I mean? Like,
and but, goated, yeah, the goat thing. You know? I think that also made shit, like, early on, like a motherfucker, it's just like football, right? Dude is in the league 4 years and he's a goat. Because he done been to the Pro Bowl twice,
yeah,
like, or a year.
What are you measuring that
What are you measuring that by? Again, you know what I'm saying? All I'm saying is like, I guess, success is different to everybody, right?
That's Simba's fault. Simba made the song, Everybody's a Goat.
Mm-hmm.
It's your fault, Simba.
Hilarious.
Shout out Simba.
Simba, what's happening? What's happening?
That's dope, man. So what's in the pipeline, you know, over the next, like, few months, you know, the rest of this year, like, where people can tap in, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. We're going to be curating a lot of new shows, bringing on new talent. And a lot of these people are our homies, man. Every day was making it dope. We're going to fuck with y'all, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Collab and do some stuff.
Let's go.
The live shows, that's a super great aspect of what I like doing this as well, too, because some of these same shows, I didn't open up as a rapper, and now we're selling them out as a podcaster. And you know what I'm saying? You sprinkle some.
That's
super crazy. Super crazy. Doing that, man. Shout out to the whole team, Fig Muni World. Community back on Fig, Ace Boys, Duno's World, Ladies Night, the Apollo, the Congregation, all our homies, all our squad, man. We ain't going nowhere.
Y'all like the Wu-Tang.
Yeah, we like the Wu-Tang, for sure.
Y'all just, yeah, West Coast here, Wu-Tang.
We here.
Nah, but I love it that you sharing, y'all sharing the table, man, and everybody brings, you know, I know you ain't going to keep nobody around that ain't pulling their weight and bringing something to the table, and I know you ain't about that nonsense, man, and I think it's just beautiful to be able to get all those people with different personalities together and have a common goal and be mashing at it at the same, you know what I mean, the same. So,
again, it's important. We ain't got a representation like that, bro.
Yeah.
Think about it.
We don't.
Especially on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And, wow.
And once you think about that and look, you like, wow, where do artists go that people that look just like them? Where can they feel comfortable and get those stories across and stuff like that without it being like a tagline or something that's just messy or anything? Yeah. Really have those conversations. So it's all of us sitting at this table. It's important that we do this shit at a high level and have that integrity how we do it to let other motherfuckers feel like they can come and do this shit as well too. So I want to see more people that look like us starting stuff up, being in position, because then we're going to make all this shit for ourselves.
Agreed.
Agreed. Y'all make sure y'all tap in with AD.
AD.
You know what I'm saying? Where can people check you out?
Man, find me everywhere. I'm somewhere on your YouTube screen. I might be on your goddamn Hulu. But, you know, follow me at It's AD, two eyes, I-I-T-S-A-D. Appreciate y'all.
There it is. A sweet life.
Sheesh.
Peace.
Peace.